HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Okay, so today I am joined by Brona Grogan. Brona is the Chief Operating Officer of Paycheck Plus here in Ireland. Brona, you're very welcome. How are you today?
Great, Declan. Thanks very much. It's lovely to be here. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem at all. Paycheck Plus, you guys are basically a, or I shouldn't say basically, but you guys are a payroll services company. You do payroll management, training, consultancy. What else do you guys get up to?
So I suppose anything payroll related, Declan, we can take over as much of the process from our clients as they are comfortable with. From the initial onboarding of the payroll and right through to processing, query management, revenue engagement, liaising with revenue and HMRC in terms of PSR submissions, payments, reconciliations. We look after banking for a lot of our clients as well. Some of our clients like us to, submit the bank file on their behalf and, thereby taking the onus away from them completely so that they can focus on other areas of the business. We engage with the employees on a one-to-one basis, if that need is there for that as well. And it's a payroll consultancy capacity that we're in, and we're there to support our client base and take, I guess, not the headache of payroll away, but the onus of payroll away so that they can focus on other areas of the business where they might consider it more value add.
Yeah.
And then actually processing payroll for their employees.
A beautiful segue there, Brona, because part of the reason now I was keen to have you guys on is it's an interesting area for me, in that lots and lots of companies now or outsource either all or part of their payroll to consultancies like yourselves. Other organizations don't at all. Why do companies outsource payroll more quite specifically?
I suppose in my opinion, Declan, that there's three reasons for it. And I think about this quite regularly, and it's a conversation that I would have with prospects and clients on a regular basis. It's cost effective, tick off the main one first. You could have a person there in your payroll department that is processing the payroll for you, but that person could be far better placed in another area of the business. Where it adds more value to the business. So you could have a person there who's looking after accounts payable or looking after the entire finance function. And because payroll is so process driven, it's more cost effective to outsource that area of the business and keep the other expertise internally. The second reason, I guess, is to do with, ticking all the boxes in terms of accuracy, in terms of compliance, in terms of on-time delivery. And, payroll is very deadline driven. So those employees need that money in their bank account on X day of the month without exception. It needs to be right. It needs to be compliant. And as I said, it needs to be there. Nobody wants to go to the hole in the wall and not have their wage or their salary there for them to draw down on. So, we would track our KPIs on a monthly basis. And we track all of the key ones there. Just as I said, they're just in terms of how accurate are the payrolls going out, how compliant are they going out with revenue and HMRC, and how many times are we sending those payslips and those reports out in an on-time manner. Our KPIs, I have to be honest with you, are outstanding. And even with the transition home, throughout COVID and during COVID, our KPIs actually improved. So we now sit at about 99.89% across the board. And credit to our payroll team, because with the move to home, they upped the ante. And they actually, because they didn't have, those touch points and moments there, they worked even harder to make sure that those payrolls and those employees were correct and were getting the payments that they were due and revenue and HMRC the same fashion. And the last one for me, I guess, is a personal favourite of my own, Declan, in that what I have seen happen in the market, and it doesn't matter what sector, what industry an organisation is in, we're now trying to develop talent. We're now trying to develop engagement, leadership skills, management skills. And by outsourcing your payroll as one of those services that can be outsourced, it frees up companies to focus on that area of the business, to make sure that their management and their leadership teams are getting the training and development, and the team go a bit mad at me because I'm a bit of a, I harp on about it quite a bit, but it's a personal draw of my own, investing in your people. So if that means outsourcing your payroll function to allow you to invest in your people internally and give them the time that they need, then for me, that's a winner.
And what sort of KPIs do you measure, Brona?
So we have four main KPIs, Declan. We look at our accuracy rate. So we look at how many of our timesheets are 100% accurate. So they are exactly what the client has asked us to process for them, that they are compliant, and that they are compliant with revenue legislation, with HMRC legislation, with guidelines, and that they are filed, that PSR and EPS submissions are filed in a timely manner as well. And we look at our on-time delivery, both in terms of our delivery of our preliminary and completion reports to our client base, because we have got SLAs and timelines outlined with all of our client base. And that's done at the implementation stage. So we track that to make sure that the clients are receiving their reports on the date that we have committed to. And also, again, probably more importantly, that the employees are getting their payments on time. Payslips are going out on time. And they're the four main ones, Declan, I would say, that we would look at. And compliance, if I was to break them down, compliance is our 100% one. We have to be compliant, you know. And in terms of our other KPIs, they're sitting at the moment at, as I said, around 98.85%, 99.85%. And they're averaging that. And, you know, often it's said to me, Brona, you know, what about the 100% now? Would you not like to be having that? And yes, I would. But if we keep ticking the 100%, then we're not learning. So it's about that continuous improvement the whole time. I'd love 100%, but it's not essential, because we learn by, you know, we track all of our incidents, and incidents we say maybe something that's not gone wrong within the payroll, but just maybe there was a miscommunication, a misinterpretation, and maybe we forgot to send a particular report. That actually doesn't happen very often because it's all documented. But 99.8% is where we like to sit, because then we're looking at our entire process to see how we can make it better and to see whether we have got training gaps there, or whether there is, you know, even from our perspective or our training education requirement from the client's perspective as well. So we look at the 99.8% and we take it, thanks very much, but we look at the 0.2%, we're like, okay, what can we do with that now? Where can we, you know, investigate that and see what else we can do there?
When do companies start looking? So if new companies, I sort of get, they might start, there might be three or four people or whatever. Maybe their accountant who's helped them formulate the company. Maybe he's doing their pay, or he or she is doing their payroll. I don't know, you get to 15 or 20 people. Maybe you start with a off the shelf software package thinking, you know, that'll save us a few quid. Typically, at what point, size-wise or complexity-wise, do companies start looking at the, you know, return of investment on investment of having their own in-house versus outsourcing? Or is there any?
That's a great question. And I would say it's not necessarily employee number specific. I would say it's more when they're faced with a problem. And, you know, when something has happened internal to their business that they realize need to get this out of the business. Payroll and revenue and HMRC legislation is coming thick and fast. And it's getting more dynamic. And I suppose organizations like, you know, I suppose I alluded to at the outset, organizations are realizing, Jesus, you know, can't really keep up with this. Really need to make sure this is correct. Really need to make sure that we're compliant. And what we have found, and as I guess COVID has heightened this as well, Declan, the payroll person goes sick and there's no backup there, there's no contingency there. What are we going to do? So by outsourcing your payroll and having that continuity of service, you know, it being a bureau and you have your dedicated account manager, but they're shadowed by at least one other person who is then overseen by our assistant payroll manager, Anya, who is overseen by our payroll manager, Michelle. So there's that escalation chain there as well. But it's really when they come up with an issue that, you know, they're like, I don't want this problem in my business anymore. I need to get this out of here. And again, to allow me to focus on other areas of the business. And some organizations, that's just their model. They just decide to outsource. You know, it's like their, you know, maybe their IT function or their HR function or, you know, something like that. They just decide, we're not going to have this function within our business. We're going to outsource it because that's the value add for us. That's what we think we should do within our company.
And where does it go wrong, Brona? When, not for you guys personally, but no, in general, where are the, you know, where are the pinch points? What are the things that can make it less effective than it should be?
I would say it's another great question. And there's two elements to this here for me, Declan. One is that we're very process-driven. We're very structured. We follow the rules. We are an ISO-accredited organization. So that gave us the opportunity to, we already had policies and procedures in place, but we formulated those. We streamlined them. We made sure that they made sense. We had roundtable discussions about them, about why we were using a particular check sheet. How is that serving us? What else could we do with it? And when we don't follow the process, and when the client doesn't follow the process in terms of their timelines, in terms of submitting in a timely manner, that's probably where it falls down. And you know, in the rare occasion where we do have what we call an incident within a payroll, we conduct a full root cause analysis on that, and we go right back to the beginning. Did we follow the process? And more often than not, you'll find, no, we didn't. And that's our corrective action. So we review the process again. We tweak it. We make sure that it is practical, that it is applicable, that it is workable. And the second area then is very common, in that it's just down to miscommunication or misinterpretation of a conversation, of an instruction, of an assumption as well. And what we do is when we take in a client's payroll, the account manager is looking at that payroll instruction, not for instruction at face value, but what else are we looking at? What doesn't, like, we consider ourselves consultants. So what's a bit different about that? If, you know, if the client sends in a bonus file, for example, for their employees, but we're not expecting bonuses in this particular month, we've been told that they're in May. What has happened there? So we open up those lines of communication. We're a very communicative bunch. We love to talk and to engage with our client base. And you know, when the account manager is processing the payroll, they're collating queries, but they're looking like, well, I'll just check that. That's a bit different this month. Why does that look like that? And you know, we're taking a holistic approach to the payroll service. And clients appreciate that because they could be in the thick of it, as I'd say, with something else. And, oh, I forgot to tell you about Rona's commission payment this month. Or, oh, did I leave that in again this month? I forgot to take that out. And that's where, I guess, the value comes from, is building that relationship with the client and keep talking to them. And we look at ways that we can enhance the experience for them. And if they're getting a set of reports, and there are a set of reports that they have always got and they have always been in that format, our role is just to say to them, well, what about this? Have you tried that? Have you looked at that report? Can you tell me, what function this report serves your business? So for example, a journal or something like that, we would engage with our finance department. We would make sure it's in a format that they can hopefully upload to their finance software as well. So it's just about that partnership with them and making sure that we're making their lives as easy as we possibly can.
Very good. This could be my perception, so you can correct it, Brona, if I'm totally wrong. I feel that the relationship with a company like yourselves is either generally held in finance, excuse me, or in HR. And it seems to be inconsistent across lots and lots of organizations. I was just wondering if you have any reflections on that. I won't put you on the spot and to say which one works best, because I'm sure you have people in both situations. But any observations on it as to why that is, why people can't quite decide which is the correct sort of stakeholder?
Yeah, it's a fair perception. And I suppose it very much depends on what department you're sitting in. There is, I suppose, a trend there where it is assumed payroll and HR go hand in hand. But because you're dealing with money and you're dealing with revenue and a HMRC, it could be perceived to be a finance function. And we would often see he said, she said, sort of situation with these stakeholders in these companies whereby, well, it's not my problem and it's not my problem. And HR is nearly, well, we're about talent management and getting the employees in. Finance, you're about making sure those employees get paid. What we find is, as long as we can gauge that relationship with those companies and you know, we understand their stance, we can work with both. You know, there's no problem there whatsoever. In some instances, we actually work with overall operations. So it doesn't actually sit within finance or HR at all. It sits within operations. But it's very much, I suppose, you know, client specific. And, it depends on what works best for them. You know, we have clients there where, you know, their HR department will receive a number of specific reports, but their finance department will receive the same reports perhaps, but in a different format, because they're going to do different things with those reports. So it's not a one size fits all. Again, it just depends on the dynamic of the company and you know, their own internal makeup and their own internal setup.
So Brona, as you know, most of our listeners are in the sort of the HR world, obviously. And at times they will be asked to consider outsourcing payroll. Obviously, you want them all to ring Paycheck Plus, which is fair enough. But that aside for 1 minute, what sort of things should people look at if they are trying to pick a partner on their payroll?
That's another great question, because I was speaking with a new client only last week, and they had run into a sticky situation with our current payroll provider and they had decided to change. And I said to him, why have you come to Paycheck Plus? And he said, because Brona, he said, you are responsive. You are communicative. You are talking to us. This is what he had heard on the grapevine, you know, on the payroll grapevine, he said. And we are. We have a 24-hour, excuse me, Jack, we have a 24-hour SLA, excuse me again, sorry, in terms of acknowledging our clients' communications, or acknowledging their phone call, or acknowledging their email, looking for a particular report or asking a particular query. So we have 24 hours to go back to them and say, you know, either answer the question that they have, or let them know we've received your query and we will be back to you in X amount of time. The other reason, I guess, is to do with, you know, again, to go back to the KPIs and the accuracy, the compliance, the completeness. They're the reasons why companies are outsourcing their payroll, and they're outsourcing it to ourselves.
And one thing as well, Brona, sorry, I may be jumping all over the place here, so forgive me. Yeah. Obviously, you know, payroll information, highly sensitive. Data security must be a huge thing for you guys. Sure. How has you know, the last number of years affected you guys in terms of that what that looks like in terms of data security, GDPR, all of that stuff?
Data security is paramount for obvious reasons. You know, we send out over 20,000 payslips a month, and you know, that has to be contained in a very secure, confidential environment. So the way we're set up, if we were in the office at the moment, is we operate lab-like processing conditions. So we have in the office, on the floor, and within the payroll department, an in-room environment, whereby clear desk policy. There's no handbags, there's no coats, there's no mobile phones, there's no cufflinks, there's no USBs, there's no any devices, anything that in the absolute unlikely event an account manager would try to do anything untoward in terms of our client's data. Every door when in the building is keypad controlled. So you actually can't get anywhere without a code that is maintained by our quality manager, Audrey, and obviously the senior management team as well. We have, you know, on individuals' PCs, you know, screens lock after 3 minutes. Passwords are a particular length in terms of the number of characters. They get updated, you know, every 30 days, I believe it is now. And then our IT solution is cloud-based as well. So it's hosted in the cloud. It's backed up then to another cloud-based solution as well within Europe. And we actually outsource our own IT function, and they look after all of that exceptionally well for us. And when the GDPR came into effect on the 25th of May 18, we embraced it, because it gave us an opportunity to solidify exactly what we were doing already. And Michelle in the office, she's our data protection champion. We have had two very, very minor data breaches, which weren't even reported to the GPC or anything like that. They were considered that minor. We're very lucky, and we're very conscientious in that regard as well. So we're locked down, I guess, to our own detriment. But, you know, we understand and we fully appreciate the reasons behind that. And we would work with a lot of clients in a lot of different spaces, and they have their own due diligence questionnaires that need to be completed, which we work through no problem with them. And just to satisfy them that, you know, we are working in a very controlled, security focused environment. You know, nobody's allowed to bring home any client data. You know, even working remotely now, there's disclaimers there that they need to populate. We do regular checkups and check-ins to make sure that everything is as it should be. And we're pretty confident that we are ticking all those boxes in terms of data security and confidentiality.
Very good. Brona, sorry, I was actually just about to ask you, and then you answered it in terms of what that looks like now in the remote environment. But yeah. On a more as a people leader yourself, so moving away slightly from the technical side of the job, what's it been like in terms of remote working and having vast amounts of your staff obviously in a remote location? How have you found it personally as a people leader?
I'm not going to lie, it has been difficult. I worry about them. I suppose I as their leader, I do worry about them, but I check in with them. You know, what we do actually is we have a daily huddle at 9:30. Every morning, and it's a 15-20 minute no longer than that, a check-in to talk about any specific issues that we might encounter that day, any IT issues, any scheduling issues. You know, have we got enough cover there to make sure the payrolls are going out? But on top of that, then myself and the manager of the team would also be lifting the phone a lot during the day, and just, how are you getting on? Everything okay? Anything I can do for you? And we offer coaching and mentoring to our employees as well. So both myself and our CEO are qualified executive coaches. So we invite them to engage with us in any capacity that they choose, in any format that they want it to be in, all in a very safe, confidential, psychological space. We're just about to appoint an internal wellness officer now as well. And we want to start introducing workplace wellness initiatives. We did do it last year. It was just a sort of a teaser, a sampler. So we want to go further with that now this year as well. And we've also just been awarded or certified, shall I say, as a great place to work as well. And we were placed eight as best workplace in small business category as well. So, you know, that is fundamentally my role now, Declan. I have to disclaim, I'm not a payroll processor. I have processed payroll, but I'm not a payroll processor. I would be very much interested and concerned in people development, building a leadership team, building a high-performance organization, organizational excellence. What else can we do to support our team, because they are, and when I say team, I mean the whole team. You know, we have the payroll team there, which makes up the bulk of our employee numbers. But we also have our supporting functions there as well. We have our business development, we have our marketing, we have Maureen, who is our fabulous executive assistant. We have, you know, we have a number of peripheral, we've accounts, etc., and things like that. And so I'm looking to see, is everybody okay? I'm reading their body language. I'm looking to see, are they quiet? And, you know, because people are very receptive. It's very easy to see if somebody's having an off day, and I lift the phone and go, what's going on? Come talk to me, you know, have a conversation with me, grab a coffee there, and we'll take it offline and just check in with each other and make sure that you're okay.
Yeah, really good. And I know we were before we started recording, we were briefly chatting just how, you know, how difficult it is for people at times at the moment. Yeah. And
I think it's the responsibility of the organization to, you know, to put their arms around their team. Well, this is okay. There's no rules here. You know, yeah. we're in something that is completely unprecedented. And, you know, I've had team members come to me, look, I'm really sorry, I'm just having a bad day. Listen, I have bad days where my children drive me bananas and everything downstairs. You know, we're only human. And yes, payrolls need to get out and employees need to get paid. But employee engagement is key. And, you know, we have built, you know, an outstanding team there where they are fully engaged, they're fully on board. And I want to channel that and I want to grow it and, you know, make sure that if they come to me and say, listen, Bruna, I'm really interested in getting involved in this area of the business, come on in, have a conversation. Yeah. Like, it's music to my ears. You know, I love to hear that. And there's plenty of opportunity and plenty of scope. You know, we launched our graduate program 3 years ago. That was a phenomenal success. And that's bringing in graduates, usually accountancy and finance graduates, but not necessarily just them as well. And, you know, seeing those people develop and blossom and flourish into, I mean, our first round of graduates in 3 years ago now, those two first ladies, one of them is our trainer and the other is our assistant payroll manager. So the development is there. They just have to show me the willing. And as we say, your payroll, our passion, they have to show me that passion that they want to do it. And I'll facilitate all day long. I have no problem with giving stuff away and delegating if it's something that they want to pursue.
Excellent. Brona, last question. Anything coming up that you guys are conscious of in terms of, I don't know, maybe innovations within the field or even legislative, obviously impacts you guys or what you guys do? Anything on the radar that you're just keeping an eye on?
Plenty on the radar. plenty on the radar. Payroll has moved, I guess, from in my opinion, and I think it's opinion in the market, has moved from a traditional processing data inputting function. And I think COVID, you know, every cloud and all of that, COVID has pushed it into the limelight. And, you know, we now consider ourselves, Paycheck Plus now consider ourselves a technology company. So we're looking at, we're looking at lean, we're looking at robotics, we're looking at AI and RPA. We're looking at ways that, you know, we can implement those into the business as well. You know, the whole area of pay on demand is coming down the track now where employees want to get paid in real time. You know, an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. They don't want to wait till the end of the month.
What is that, Brona? Sorry, I can show my ignorance now easily. What's pay on demand? Is it literally paying you up to date with where you have been working?
Yeah, it's paying you in that time frame. So, for example, if you work today, well, it's the 8th of April, then you get paid this evening. So it's faster payments. It's more real time. It's more, you know, if you had your hours today, or you had a daily rate or something like that, and you worked your hours today, you get paid today, or you get paid in the morning for that. And I think that is coming from people's circumstances. You know, there was this perspective that, you know, mortgages go out once a month and, you know, loan repayments and direct debits and things that go out once a month. But there's now a calling for having that money in your bank account when you go to the bank machine in the morning or even this evening or something like that, that your money is actually there. So that's coming down the track. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that as well as people's circumstances continue to change over the course of the next few weeks, months and years ahead. And then in terms of legislation, then you know, you got there's so much in terms of legislation. There's gender pay gap reporting, auto enrollment now, you know, was scheduled initially for 2022. I know the government have pushed that out now to 2023, and we'll see what happens then. IR35 in the UK. You know, there's a number of different legislative pieces that are coming down as well. And I think for as long as we continue, and dare I say it, for as long as we continue to live in a pandemic environment, and I know that the word on the ground is, okay, COVID, you know, with the vaccination program, and we'll please God get to some sort of resolution. But there's going to be something else. You know, there's no question about that after that. Now, it might not be in our lifetime, but it's certainly something will come again. And these furlough schemes, so, you know, what we found in 2020 with the rollout of the, you know, the employee wage subsidy schemes, the TWSS, EWSS in the UK, the CJRS, there's always going to be something like that we need to keep, you know, on top of, and keep an eye on what is coming down the track. And as soon as we get wind that there is something like that, we just establish a think tank. And we take ourselves off site, and we gather ourselves in a virtual environment at the moment, and we thrash it out, and we communicate with our clients, and we let them know how we think this is going to affect them, and what they need to do for to make sure that they're ready for this.
And that's the consultancy piece you were talking about earlier, isn't it? Yeah. IR35. Do you think they'll do something similar in Ireland? And for people who are listening who don't. I haven't heard of IR35. It's effectively treating contractors as employees.
Yeah. And I think it's coming into effect now in the UK any day now, in April, I believe, certainly May. And I don't see it coming in initially here, Declan, but I do see it coming in. Because I think that we really followed the lead of those that are bold enough and brave enough to bring it in first, and then we'll be just like auto enrollment. But it will come in, and I think there needs to be, you know, a knowledge sharing about that, and again, implications of what that will have on your company as well. And we're more than happy to support in that capacity.
Fantastic. Brona, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today. If there is anyone listening who would like to get in contact with Paycheck Plus or yourself, what's the best way?
Our best way is we have our website is there, www.paycheckplus.ie. Our phone number is 041-9892-100, and I'm always contactable. You know, my own email address is bgrogan@paycheckplus.ie, and we're all over we have a fabulous marketing manager, so we're all over social media, and you know, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, so you will get us one way or the other. There's plenty of us around to support.
Fantastic. And we'll link all of those below the podcast. Brona, thanks a lot.
Thanks very much, Declan.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.